You may have seen this Norman Rockwell painting, a black girl in a white dress surrounded by U.S. Marshals with yellow U.S. Marshals bands on their arms. There's a racial slur written on the wall behind her and a tomato splattered on the ground. That little girl is Ruby Bridges. She helped desegregate one of New Orleans' elementary schools in 1960. But that same day, there were three more girls who did the same thing at a different school. Their experience could have been summarized by that Rockwell painting as well. Those three girls, now women in their 60s, were in Fort Smith for Martin Luther King Jr. Day yesterday. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Leona, Tessie, and Gail before and after the Celebrate the Dream parade.
Here is how Leona Tate, Tessie Prevost-Williams, and Gail Atien Stripling remember November 14th, 1960, the day they desegregated McDonough 19 in the 9th Ward of New Orleans.
I woke up with a jaw full of a household of people and not knowing really why. It wasn't Christmas, so it wasn't any holiday. Like, everybody would come over to prepare things, but, you know, the family was there to help my mother prepare me to leave. And I can remember when the car pulled up with the U.S. Marshals and the household got real quiet. So I knew then that something was about to happen.
I just remember the marshal coming to the house. I know my grandmother was there and my mama and my daddy, because my daddy went along with me, with the marshals. My mother was, she was frightened. She was frightened. It took everything in God's power to keep my mother from having a nervous breakdown.
I remember the ride to the school and getting to the school and looking out the window at the crowds of people that looked like they were angry at, I'm going to say me at the time, because I didn't realize the other girls were in other cars. And I didn't know what they were angry for, you know, and they just looked scary to me.
When we pulled up in front of the school, it was just a mass of people, you know. Any naive little six-year-old girl from New Orleans would think it was Mardi Gras, because that's exactly what it looked like.
My daddy told me, he said, take my hand and look straight ahead. And you are right. And so that's what I did. So I really didn't see the crowd. I could hear it.
We were sitting in the hallway. They didn't know what to do with us. And we sat there for a long time before they put us in classrooms. And then when we got to the classroom is when the parents started taking the kids out to classrooms. And it ended up just being just us the three of us in the classroom, or the whole school, really.
Leona, Tessie, and Gail ended up being the only three students at McDonough 19 for a year and a half after white parents boycotted the school. Well, it was them and the U.S. Marshals who escorted them to the school and then back home at the end of the day. Tessie says they were gentlemen who would open doors for them.
When we would go to school in the morning, they said, well, how you did your homework? You finished doing this, so what you going to do? When we would come home in the evenings, they would say, how was your day? You know, did you have homework to do? And, you know, what you have for lunch? And this, you know, this kind of thing. And so we really felt at ease with them.
They even had a nickname for Leona.
Gigglebox. I don't know why.
Tessie says they were reunited with one of the U.S. Marshals who watched over them on the 50th anniversary of McDonough's desegregation.
That night when we walked in, we knew Al Butler. We knew who he was. I mean, he was 80-something years old, but his mannerism never changed. He had that in-charge attitude. He really did, and it never changed. He was 80-something years old.
Even though they were the only students at McDonough 19, Leona says it was a haven compared to the all-white T.J. Sims Elementary School, which they also helped desegregate.
I wouldn't bring any child there to an environment like that. You know, we were afraid to go in the cafeteria. We was afraid to use the restroom. I mean, it was hostile.
They didn't want us there, and they let it be known.
The three girls ended up at T.J. Sims after the Orleans Parish School Board decided to convert McDonough 19 to an all-black school. But Leona, Tessie, and Gail's parents wouldn't submit their children to resegregation. So they went to T.J. Sims without a U.S. Marshals escort. And this time, Gail says, white parents didn't pull their children out of the school.
So we had a whole school of students, teachers, and principal that didn't want us there.
Leona remembers there were 11 black students at T.J. Sims, and they would gather under a tree at recess to protect themselves. Gail sums up their time at the school like this.
Sims was a lot worse. It was much worse.
The three women are very much in agreement about what helped them get through it. Here's Tessie and then Gail.
When we got to our community, we were fine. It was fine. And I remember there was this woman, Ms. Bowman belonged to our church. And every time until the day that woman died, she died not long after Katrina, she would tell me how pretty I was and how smart I was, because she knew I needed to hear that because of what I was hearing once I left that community.
I remember my pastor holding me up in front of church, in front of the congregation, because I was going to get baptized, and telling the congregation how, you know, this is our Gail, you know, and she did a brave thing, and we have to protect her, and they all were standing behind me. So
the women are also in agreement that having a role in the civil rights movement as children meant they didn't have normal childhoods. Here's Gail again.
You know, we couldn't go outside and play like everybody else could. You couldn't go out in the yard and play, you know, because they were worried that somebody would pass by or try to do something or take us or whatever the situation might have been. So,
but all three say they would do it all over again if they had to. And their sacrifices and bravery as children were recognized during the Celebrate the Dream Parade along Garrison Avenue in Fort Smith yesterday. Leona, Tessie, and Gail rode on the U.S. Marshals Museum float, and marching in front of them and behind them were students of all colors from local schools. One of the schools, Southside High, marched under their relatively new name, the Mavericks, after the Fort Smith School District voted in 2015 to change the rebel mascot and other references to the Confederacy. Leona and Gail say it was nice to be celebrated.
I didn't expect that many people to turn out. You know, it was amazing. It really was. I mean, it's like they were looking for us. You know what I'm saying? It really was well put together.
I mentioned to Leona and them as we were riding. I think it was Leona Tessa, one of them, as we were riding. You know, I said, because when we were waving at the people, you know, and they were waving back, I said, it generally looked like they're happy that we're here.
And while there's a lot of progress to celebrate since November 14th, 1960, Tessie says there's still a lot more work that needs to be done.
When I look at some of the things that's going on in this country, if some of those images on television were in black and white, you would think you were in the 60s. You know, that things has not changed at all, you know, because you can still see that and feel that hatred. And I mean deep-seated hatred. That you just wonder where that comes from. You know, what's the problem? Where does that come from?
Gail and Tessie say from their experiences as children, most of the time the hatred didn't come from their classmates.
Children, they don't understand that. They don't understand that. And so that has to be fed to them.
If they didn't think anybody was watching them, they want to play with us.
So do Tessie, Gail, and Leona feel hopeful about the future? Here's Tessie to answer that.
Peace and love and unity. And if the world, if we had that, just a little more of it, gradually just a little more, a little more, a little more, we won't see all that on there that we're seeing. I really and truly believe that. But we just got to have it here. It's got to be here.
You can't see it, but here Tessie put her hand over her heart. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
Gail and Leona went on to desegregate Francis T. Nichols High School, and it wasn't until they were in the 10th grade that all public school grade levels in New Orleans were open to black students. The three women were also interviewed by the U.S. Marshals Museum, and their stories will become part of the museum's oral history collection.